Commissioner Fennell and Straffus, Strahan absent. First, we need to approve our agenda.
Motion to approve Monday morning 9 o'clock agenda as presented.
Second. Questions or discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. I think next at 8:30, I've looked for my calendar. We've got...
I think we've got Tiger 2, Grant.
Tiger 2. So, welcome, Mr. Preston.
Thank you.
And engineers. Ron, who would like to start the ball rolling?
I'll start it, then Frank can start passing stuff out here.
All right.
This is a follow-up to our conversation that we wanted to explore the Tiger 2 grant opportunity. Everyone got some various tasks. Frank was tasked to get projects gathered that he felt would be could qualify.
Right.
Ron Hausman was tasked with deadlines and dates and things like that. And you know, obviously this meeting we're trying to ascertain in a short time period costs, what costs are associated with applying for the grant, and then revisiting the key deadlines that we've got. I know there's a so those are the two primary purposes of this meeting here. And so Frank is, I think, here to start with the process with the roads or the areas that you've identified that would qualify from what we understand.
I thank everybody for showing up this morning. Relatively short notice. This is about the Tiger 2 program grant application process. I have a total of 7 projects here that are sort of scoped very minimally. I have more information available if you'd like to talk about or have any questions about anything. Want me to read every one of them so we all have a clear understanding of what we're talking about?
That'd be fine.
Okay.
Or you don't have to read them, but just let's talk about each one of them.
Fall Creek Road and Highway 165, we've discussed, and there actually was an engineering firm in the past that had done a realignment where Fall Creek meets 165. It's very steep there. Buses get high-centered, and tow trucks have to remove them from the area. The line of sight is not very good for that amount of traffic, and we'd like to relocate that to create a better line of sight and also lessen the grade. With the other improvements that the city of Branson has done on the northern section of Fall Creek Road, we've seen an increased traffic load on that section of road, and we anticipate with further improvements along Fall Creek, and once the public gets used to it, that they will see that that's a nice alternate for north-south traffic traveling through the city of Branson. Anything else to add to that?
Question.
Yes, sir.
On Fall Creek, has anyone just popped into my mind? I certainly haven't talked with the sheriff or Branson's PD on as far as accidents. I mean, I know one place is surely a high accident spot, but...
I don't have specific numbers. I've had conversations. There's two areas that have been the highest accident area. One is that hilltopping area where people go hilltopping. I know of an individual, it's right before you get to the county part of Fall Creek, which is River Bluff Estates.
Right.
That there's a pretty steep hill there, which is called, and it's what's called hilltop, and people go at a high rate of speed, right, lose control, and wreck there. The other place is the hairpin turn at the very end by the Lily's Landing.
Where you turn down to Cooper Creek?
Yeah, right in that intersection area is the two key areas. Of course, there was a fatality, what was it, last year or year before, in front of that 50, Country Bluff Estates. I think there was a fatality there 18 months ago or so.
Yeah. Okay.
Project number one only encompasses the intersection. There's another project further on the list that will encompass all of Fall Creek Road.
Okay.
I didn't want to put preliminary estimates on here. But I would like to sit down with engineers and discuss those numbers because there is some backup data for previous estimates that we might be able to use. Traffic count is available. Accident data is available for all of these locations. Excuse me. Next one is project.
And can Do you know who the, you mentioned an engineer right off that had looked at a realignment?
This one,
folks that are here today, or?
No, it's Scott Consulting out of Springfield.
Okay.
I've seen some plans on it, and I did invite them. The response was that they would have a representative here today, but I don't see anyone from Scott here today.
Okay.
One thing I would also point out in conversations with Dean Krutoff and Mayor Rayan and David Miller, they really want to take ownership of this road, which we really want to give them the ownership since the monthly, our annual cost of that road would go away because it would be theirs. But their conditions are improve it to a level that they can actually use the road to a bypass type. You know, they use the other end of Fall Creek as a cut through area, and they want to be able to maintain it to be a cut through type road. So their interest is if we could improve it, they would take it over too.
Yeah.
Which would be a savings.
Project number two, Highway 160 and 176 Rockaway Beach turnoff. The plans are to build a roundabout in this location to increase traffic safety and traffic flow. Traffic counts at this location are significant, and this new configuration would provide great improvements. This improvement would also lend itself towards better connectivity for future upgrades, such as widening or lane additions for this major highway. Simple, it's we're putting a roundabout at that location. This is a high accident area and congested at twice a day, pretty heavily. And it's also been talked about through the regional planning groups and MoDOT that widening of 160 has been on the planning stages for quite some time. So depending on who you talk to, it's literally been on the planning stage in the books. Some other people say it's been talked about for a long time, but there hasn't really been any real planning done to that effect. Project number three, Highway 160 and F Highway is very similar, just a different location, and that would be to add a roundabout to that location also. Project number four, Highway 76 and Highway J. This project includes new alignment of the intersection and turn lanes. This intersection will serve as the beginning intersection for the proposed East-West Corridor. This project is needed due to increased traffic flow in the area and connectivity problems. Highway 76 is overburdened in this region, and improving this intersection will be the early formation of an alternate connection to Hollister. Project number five, Maple Street and East-West Corridor is what I would call the terminus of the East-West Corridor, and that would be intersection improvements at that end of the East-West Corridor.
And it's just taking it and terminating it at the Maple Street, which within
yes.
the Hollister, their desire, which is to complete that pass.
Yes.
Okay.
Fall Creek Road, this project is the entire 2.4-mile section that the county currently maintains. This project will include realignment, both horizontal and vertical. Jim mentioned hilltopping issues. There's several places where cars, there's line of sight issues where people are in dips. People are hilltopping, like he mentioned, going over the hill at high rate of speed, having control problems. If you have ever driven Fall Creek, it doesn't lend itself towards high traffic numbers, and especially at a higher rate of speed. So this project would look at making those widening overlay and making the vertical and horizontal improvements. I truly feel that if this road were upgraded to the effect that I'm talking about right now, that the traffic increases would be significant. Right now, traffic count is about 2,800 to 3,000 per day. And again, at peak travel times, morning and evening, it's rather congested. Coon Creek Road, this is project number seven, the last one. This 1.6-mile road serves as the only direct connection from Kirbyville to area to the city of Hollister. This project will include realignment, both horizontal and vertical, widening, overlay, and two-lane bridge with shoulders. These improvements are greatly needed as the east-west travel routes in this area are limited to Coon Creek and State Highway 76. State Highway 76 in the Mount Branson area is severely congested at times, and at a literal standstill at certain other times. Traffic counts in this section are 19,000 plus. Coon Creek Road improvements would provide a traffic relief route for those desiring to get to Highway 65 or Hollister. Coon Creek was previously identified as receiving an overlay with some minor vertical alignment issues being addressed last year. That did not happen due to budget constraints and also timing with the project and the Lake Chinicomo Bridge kicking off. So that got a little complicated. I read the document yesterday. That's really fine print. This document is guidelines and instructions for Tiger II. It's available on the internet. The first thing that surprised me, I thought we were bumping up against a deadline of June 16th for application. What I read here is that pre-applications must be submitted by July 16th, 2010 at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That is the pre-application deadline. The DOT pre-application system will open no later than June 15th. So they're beginning to accept the applications at this particular date, but I was informed earlier this week that the deadline for application was the 16th, and I based on my interpretation of what I'm reading here, that's not the case.
And just to let you know, that is, they've moved everything back 30 days, how I understand, reading the same thing you got.
Okay.
Is that it was originally June 16th.
Okay. The minimum Tiger II discretionary grant size is $1 million. That's stated in one part of the document. In a section further back in the document, it also states something to the effect, and I'll read that later, that in rural areas, that $1 million threshold is, they're not being held to that threshold. Tiger II discretionary grants may be used for up to 80% of the cost of this project, but priority will be given to projects that will show matching funds. Again, further in the document, it talks about rural areas, not necessarily it needing to be 80-20, that in rural areas it would be 100%. The DOT may increase the federal share above 80% only for projects located in rural areas. The Recovery Act emphasizes that generation of near-term economic effects from expenditures on project costs such as construction, job creation, as a fundamental goal of the Tiger Discretionary Grant Program. However, the Fiscal Year 2010 Appropriation Act does not include explicit emphasis on the job creation and instead focuses more broadly on the impact of the projects on the nation, metropolitan area, and or region, including the minimum long-term benefits that would accrue post-project completion. So I think all of these projects under that little category would definitely be an improvement to the traveling public here in Taney County. There's a small section that talks about state of good repair in these overlays of Fall Creek and Coon Creek. It's my interpretation that an extensive overlay would fall within the guidelines of what the grant language is talking about. Another thing I highlighted was DOT will give priority to projects that demonstrate strong collaboration among broad range of participants and or integration of transportation with other public service efforts. I think with several of the projects that we've noted, it would be a collaboration effort and or the benefits would be felt by both cities, counties, and MoDOT. Another primary factor in receiving one of these grants is a lot of language that talks about reducing congestion. Another critical factor or criteria is safety. In order to determine whether the project improves safety, DOT will assess the project's ability to reduce the number and rate of consequences of surface transportation-related crashes and injuries and fatalities among drivers and non-drivers in the project zone. During the application process in the packet, the application should state somewhere in there, we need to identify the quantity and compare the expected benefits of the project. All applicants will be expected to prepare an analysis of benefits and costs. Within the application packet, a project schedule needs to be in there. And I'm just highlighting some of the things that I thought I should throw out there. There is a lot more information in there.
Frank, before you go on, let's just have conversation. Are you anticipating doing the application, or are we anticipating help getting help from our engineers?
I'm anticipating getting help from our engineers.
Okay, so I guess this is probably where we stop and make a bigger question, because some of those details you can remind the engineer when it's time to do the application. Is that correct?
Sure.
Okay. So I got to ask a few questions. One of these projects on the list is one or more is a state road. Mm-hmm. I think the one that comes to mind is the 160-176. Do you know if the state of Missouri has submitted that under the Tiger II, or can they?
They can. I do not know if they have.
Okay. Just because that does, obviously that would be one of my questions for that. I mean, I think it's a much necessary, much needed intersection, but I just want to make sure we're not double applying for that.
Well, what about the thoughts of a joint effort? Is there?
Integration with existing roadways, I think that's part of one of the things you said, obviously that would help. I just don't know who would get better weight out of the deal. I know that at one time we had heard that we were going to get an earmark for that intersection, but there was not enough plans done so that we couldn't spend the earmark from Congresswoman Emerson.
Actually, the next two projects are the same, right? Well, Highway 160 and F, that's all.
Well, I'm just thinking the lettered highways, don't we have some ownership on F, or is that all state too?
All state.
It's all state too.
J is still state.
So, I mean, that's from my perspective, we just have to make sure that if they're applying, we don't need to. But if they haven't, then we can discuss if that's how we want to go forward with them.
Okay.
It seemed to me that the Tiger II grant kind of broke down the awarding in two different buckets, a rural where you don't require matching money, and then the urban side where it's a 20% minimum match, I believe. In some conversation I had at a NACO event, I was told from a DOT person that the more match, the better. So that's something, Chuck, we need to talk about if, you know, going through this is, are willing to put up at least 20%, because I believe if we get classified as rural or don't get classified rural, or they change however they're changing things, are we willing to put some matching money? And of course, Frank, that would come out of your contingency balances that you've got left in Road and Bridge, because any one of these projects would be considered a capital improvement, so it wouldn't go out for your operation, but more of a capital expenditure. Are you comfortable with? Have you thought about that, Frank?
I have.
Okay.
For everyone in the audience, this is a very busy week for all of us, and we haven't really had the opportunity to sit down and discuss some of the details that we're talking about right now.
Right.
And if anyone would like to chime in on any of it, I'd appreciate comments also. I have looked at it from that perspective. It's not a requirement due to the fact that we are rural and in an economically depressed area. It's not a requirement that we go with 100%, they fund 100%. In here, there's some language that states something to the effect that our project and or application would be looked more favorably upon if there were matching funds, as with most grants. So in thinking about that, in some of the smaller projects, matching funds-wise, I feel that I'm comfortable in stating that we would have the ability to come up with 20% matching. In the Fall Creek overlay, 1-2, whatever length that one is, that's a rather extensive 2.4-mile road with some serious issues. That project, at a minimum, will be $5 million plus, possibly as much as $7 or $8 million once there's right-of-way acquisition and realignment, if that were to ultimately happen. So that one, no, I'm not comfortable in stating that our budget can handle a matching fund on that particular one.
Okay.
Frank, have you got wild figures like that on any of the rest of these projects?
I do, but I won't mention them right now.
Fair enough.
All right.
So I thought that we had invited the engineering firms to sit down and listen to what we have to say, to talk about the feasibility of possibly working on these grants, talk about deadlines, and see if any engineering firms would like to come on board with Taney County. Ultimately, we would prefer that the costs were
Nominal.
Or nominal.
Yeah, this is not a budgeted project, let's put it that way. And I guess one of the questions, have you had conversations with engineering firms on which project you're thinking for each engineering firm? Have they had conversations with you which projects they're interested in?
No. I had Kathy and call four engineering firms that we work with on a regular basis. I did have a conversation with Spencer, I believe, in regards to the east-west intersections.
Okay.
Because they were the last engineering firm to have worked on that area.
Okay.
And I don't know exactly what Kathy told the offices that she called, but my interpretation was I asked them to ask her to let them know that we were having this meeting this morning with some potential projects that we're looking for grant opportunities, and that I would like to cordially invite them to sit down, listen to what we have to say, and then we would open up discussions as to would there be a nominal fee, would there be no fee at all. That's been mentioned in the past by one or more engineering firms, that there would be no fee at all involved in anticipation if the grant were to be funded, that the engineering firm that helped us get to that point would, in my opinion, be awarded the project of moving forward with the design engineering.
Okay.
A little humor here maybe kind of reminds me of running for an office. We got competitors that are all lined up to talk about themselves. Would we be out of line to ask our engineers if they would like to say whatever they want to say to us as far as these projects? And
absolutely.
Also,
they might not be interested at all.
They don't want to say anything, and that's fine. You can pass. But you mentioned Spencer, and I think HDR's done some work on
some of this,
the FN-160 project. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Something else first?
Well, I was just going to say it may be good. I mean, do you guys want to talk about what projects you would think match up, or you just want to hear what they have to say first?
Matter of me, those are the two that popped into my mind that, to my knowledge, there's been some work done on them or interest or stuff.
Okay. Look, I mean,
one or more individuals may know if there's any MoDOT interest in or having
moved.
Are they moving forward on any of these? So,
let's start with that. Does anyone know if MoDOT is doing anything on these three that are state? And let me, anybody wants to speak, going to have to come up to the mic.
I personally don't. I mean, I can tell you, I've talked to some of the MoDOT people, and I haven't had this conversation with them, so I don't know the answer.
Frank, when you read the grant, because I haven't sat down and read it, does it indicate that it's for the state to do projects as well?
Oh, it's,
any indication? Definitely.
It's wide open, cities, counties, townships, state.
I don't think it's this district, but some districts had talked about doing some bridges that were in rural areas that were desperately in need of repair, and trying to use some of this money for a bridge repair in rural areas because there's no matching funds and all that, and they've done the preliminary work, so it may just be an application for them. So,
I considered one of our bridges that we've had on the planning books for quite some time. That's Round Mountain Bridge. Mm-hmm. When I looked at the latest traffic count in 2007, the number was 27 per day, and that's a $1 million project. And so, I mean, we can throw it back in there, but
I think we've got a bunch of qualifying bridges or low water crossings. I can think of a low water crossing that we have a safety issue with. That
it reminds me. Do you know off the top of your head what we have on Coon Creek now?
Traffic wise,
traffic count
about 2,800.
2,800.
Yeah, and there's a low water issue there that needs a structure.
So, Coon Creek and Fall Creek are about the same.
Are very similar, yes, sir.
Is that right? Wow. Okay.
Those numbers could be different today. One, in part, on Coon Creek, possibly because of the construction. Shortly after construction, 1 or 2 weeks after construction, number bumped up by about 400 to 600 per day. And on Fall Creek, the numbers are increasing. We just don't know to what extent, because of the northerly section improvement, northerly portion of that section improvement. So both of these routes, the usages are gaining traffic.
Well, let me just put someone on the spot. Spencer, why don't you come up to the microphone?
That's on the spot.
Spencer, Great River. Hey, there's obviously a couple of projects here that you've done some extensive work on, which is the ones that were the Tiger One grant, which is the Maple Street and the J intersection. Those obviously we paid for some services, got some good data for the community, traffic counts, safety counts, things like that. If you wouldn't, just in having some comments, also address that, what your thoughts are on the whole process, and if you want to share anybody else who's doing this. I know you work with other counties also and cities.
So. Okay. Well, I'll maybe start with that. I'm not aware of any projects that MoDOT has proposed at this time. I know that Greene County had a project that they submitted. They're still evaluating that, but they're not thinking that they're going to make that application because they feel like they would fall in an urban area and that it would require their 20% match, which they don't have budget for. So I know they're questioning that. Scott Consulting, I believe, worked with the City of Republic on an application, but I'm not sure if they're planning on moving forward with that project. There is a project in the City of Springfield that's being discussed. It's kind of a multimodal bicycle, pedestrian, roadway improvements that they are considering doing an application on, but I know definitely a final decision has not been made on that. When I look at what applications were turned in for Tiger 2 or for Tiger 1, there were 22 of those projects that were submitted in the state of Missouri, one of those being funded, which was the MARC project up in Kansas City. And then when we look at the other projects that actually got shortlisted, there were two other projects that got shortlisted. So I would suspect that those projects that got shortlisted will definitely try to take advantage of the Tiger 2. So I would think those would be pretty confident saying that they'll definitely go back after.
Are those rural or urban areas?
I'm mostly urban.
Okay.
So I don't know of any rural projects other than the east-west road that was turned in on Tiger 1 for the state of Missouri. I know in some of the blogs and some of the news articles that are out there talking about Tiger 2, I know there's going to be a lot of those Tiger 1s that are going to be resubmitted. Mm-hmm. I think they had like 1,400 applications. They shortlisted 161 of those for further consideration and then funded 51 of those. So you can kind of see the breakdown of how those numbers go. This time we're dealing with quite a bit less money. I think there's $140 million that have been set aside for rural projects. I think that's encouraging for these projects that the county's considering today. The one thing, too, and this was talking with Frank Miller, with the planner with the MoDOT here in District 8, and, just kind of talking about what happened with Tiger 1 and what direction they kind of indicated they were liking to see projects go. And one big component of that was multimodal is huge. Not just looking at roadway improvements, but also providing pedestrian access, bicycle routes, and bus and rail facilities. So those seem to be the projects that were most heavily funded. Another thing that I think was a pretty good indicator is having a significant regional impact, being able to reach out there broadly in the community and benefit as many people as possible. So, breaking this into small projects, I have a little bit of concern about how we can sell that or pitch that as a regional benefit. So one thing that you might consider, and this is just a brainstorm idea, is to lump all these together as a regional transportation improvement plan that have been identified in the communities. And I think you could still use the same approach of, a larger team working collectively to get that done as one option to consider. That way we kind of hit a more regional basis with that. I think some of the projects lend themselves more to that multimodal. I think Fall Creek has that opportunity with its proximity to Branson. and maybe some other alternatives of trying to find some innovative ideas. And I think innovation is a key component with the Tiger One and with the Tiger Two, is how can we move some of the people that work or that live in that part of the county and the city to get them to their point of destination of their place of employment. So I think there's a unique opportunity with that project. The other safety projects, the intersection improvements, the benefit of going through this process, whether it's funded with this mechanism of the Tiger II or some other mechanism, having gone through this evaluation and this study, collecting this information, if it doesn't provide opportunities for this funding source, I think it has value in continuing to pursue funding with MoDOT and or any federal programs. And there's some discussion that U.S. Department of Transportation is looking at taking this type of approach on all new federally funded construction projects. So I don't think the time or effort that's been put into these have been wasted. I think this is going to be the trend that we see move forward on how we have our responsibility to the public to make sure that we justify, we've identified the benefits associated with the cost and that we're spending the taxpayers' money wisely. So there was maybe some other stuff that you wanted me to kind of hit on, but that's what my review of the information is and the situation with Taney County. I still think that with Taney County being a distressed area, being a rural area, I think we have an excellent opportunity to get the nation's attention for assisting us in our transportation needs.
What we've talked about the east-west, are there others that you've had any dabblings on, so to speak?
As far as other projects we've worked on for Tiger Grants?
On our projects.
Oh, okay.
I left my list.
I guess the only one would be Coon Creek, of course.
Okay.
How do you see your role in this? You've probably spent a little time looking at the Tiger II grant application. You experienced the Tiger One application, so you know what the hours were and all that. How do you guys see participating, helping, assisting, what levels?
What I can see in reviewing the previous Federal Register versus the new Federal Register for Tiger II, one thing that they're really getting more specific about, and I think they left open a lot in the Tiger One, is the benefit cost analysis, what can and can't be included, as well as what kind of terms that you have to look at. And they've limited that down to a 20-year term on looking at that cost-benefit analysis. So I think that's one thing that's a little bit different. The other thing that we would propose to do is go back and look at the projects that did get funded, see what insight we can provide that we can get from those applications to see how that we can roll that into our applications, as well as the ones that even got shortlisted for the second round. Again, taking advantage of all the information that we have available to optimize our chance of getting funded.
Okay.
And we've started that process.
So from a cost perspective, I'll just ask the question. If we were to say, okay, Great River, we're interested in you looking at the projects 4, 5, and 7, which is J Intersection, Maple Street, and Coon Creek, what's a ballpark cost to cost the county to get through this application process?
I haven't put a pencil to that, and I can do that. But what I can tell you is that when we started digging into the East-West Road, there was a lot of information that had yet to be compiled in regards to the benefits and the impact that roadway would have. And that was really from two perspectives, one from a traffic volume, knowing how many vehicles we could move from 76 over to the new East-West Road, the benefits that would create as far as travel, reducing travel time and accident reduction, and then also the economic impact of opening up property that had the potential for development, and that roadway would help support that. So a lot of that information would definitely reduce our amount of effort. We would have to go back and, again, add some components that we think would improve our chances for funding again, based upon how they funded other projects. And then two, breaking this out to their smaller projects and see that we get the same results of the benefit from that level.
Okay.
So but our amount of effort would be reduced for those projects. And then on Coon Creek, with the intersection improvements, the information required by MoDOT, the traffic counts that we did, the alignment issues that we looked at, again, we've done a lot of homework on that, or information that could definitely be rolled over easily into a Tiger II application. And due to the proximity of the Coon Creek Road project with the East-West Road, we would be able to utilize a lot of that information.
Okay. One thought was, get any ideas as far as how we make decisions or weigh the benefit of having some match? How's the commission going to go about making that decision? Do we want to put something in, 10% or nothing, or 50% or whatever the case?
I'd like to go back. That's one thing that I haven't done, Chuck, is gone back and reviewed which ones we're trying to get 100% funding and which ones we're trying to get partial funding. But I can tell you that over the years, historically, Federal Highway, with the funding programs that they have always tried to require some sort of a match, some sort of a local buy-in to the projects to encourage them to do that. And I think that does give you an advantage to say, you know, we don't just want your money, but we see the benefit of this, that we want to put our own money into it. So I think it does have some factor. And I'll look at some of the other programs. The BRO program is an 80-20 program. The enhancement program, the transportation enhancement program, is a 75-25% program. And you're actually, as they evaluate those applications, you're given additional points based upon you exceeding the minimum funding provided by the county. So I think that's a trend. And then as we look at transportation projects across the state, and you talk to MoDOT, they're telling you that the cost share program is going to be the way to fund mm-hmm. future new construction projects, that they're going to be going into a maintenance mode, and the only way to get new projects is through a cost share. And Taney County has had great success in working with local communities on that.
I can tell you my thought initially is looking around that 25% match above the bare minimum of 20% on the urban. I think that because of the rural area, the distress that Taney County, you know, being a distressed community, any match would help. And then, but exceeding the minimum match, which a lot of these projects will just probably have bare minimum, putting it at 25 would give us, I think, a competitive advantage with all the other factors involved. So my thinking is anywhere between the 20 and the 25%, but leaning more heavily to the 25% match.
And what you can do too, you know, that's a decision you can make as you're moving through the application on what the total project cost is and what kind of commitment that the county would have to make on that project, what 20 and 25% would be out right. of pocket.
And it's not necessarily just cash either.
Right. One thing, too, is that that's a little bit different or a little bit stronger in the Tiger II grant is the NEPA requirements, the environmental clearance requirements. And I don't think those will cause any problems with any of the projects that you're looking at. You just have to show that you're trying to make progress in obtaining those clearances. So it's really notifying those regulatory agencies, but that's a different another part of it too that they've strengthened.
The one, and I assume it doesn't make any, wouldn't hurt anything to try it, but the J Highway, if I've got that in my mind right, that changing that intersection like we've looked at before mm-hmm. would not be a very beneficial thing unless we really could see the east-west coming on, because there's quite a huge realignment there, right?
Yeah, and that was the benefit. That was really one of the strong points of the east-west road, is that it provided a bypass or an alternate route, reducing travel time, providing a safer road so we could have a better safety record there, and then, too, the economic potential there. And the job, and then the job opportunities that could possibly create. And I know that's not as strong of a point, but it's still something that's secondary on a consideration factor.
I'm just picturing this: if we did that project, and we didn't have the East-West coming somewhere, that would not be a very good show of our funds being spent to do that bigger realignment.
Well, and my thought is it would help the city of Kirbyville or the village of Kirbyville from where it could realign and help that, you know. But you're right.
Because the realignment would be going to nowhere is what I'm picturing.
Right.
Now, maybe I'm not seeing it right. But anyway, just a thought.
Hey, and then, too, and I know you're aware of it, that there's the transportation planning grant component of it, working with HUD, mm-hmm. And that might be something else that the county could look at or consider, because I think, I think that's another step in how projects will be funded in the future, showing your plan and then showing the benefit-cost ratio on a project-by-project basis. So,
I'm glad you brought that up, Spencer. I did read in there that with this grant, there's some HUD opportunities to create funding for master plans. Is that a direction we want to something we want to look at this point in time, consider?
Good question. Don't have an answer right off.
I think it's just something to look at. I mean, they've allocated a certain amount of money for that, and it may fit here, it may not fit here, but just an opportunity to be considered.
Excellent. How about somebody else we hear from?
Yep. Anybody else want to speak up?
All right.
Thank you, Spencer.
Yeah, thanks, Spencer.
Thank you. Tom Ryan with HDR Engineering. And kind of wanted to kind of give you an overview of some things that we've had some direct contacts with USDOT with some of our people. Being a more of a larger company, we have done some work with USDOT. In fact, the economic analysis part of this is what we helped develop with FHWA. So we've got a pretty good handle what that's going to entail for you to do. One of the things that I really want to bring kind of focus here is that, well, let me stop back a little bit. I can tell you a little bit about, I know MoDOT has considered some Tiger II plans. They have not really come out and said where they're pushing that. We have heard that they have reserved some funds in to do a match, so we're assuming that they're going more after some of the urban type funding. So we really don't know what they're pursuing. They may not know either. The St. Louis area has about 11 projects that they're looking at. Six of those are put in by MoDOT. So I know that MoDOT has an activity in the St. Louis area. The Kansas City area, I think they'll make some effort, but since they won something the first time around, they're probably thinking their chances are not as strong as some of the others and probably will do something just to show the interest, but may not do a strong proposal effort like some of the others. We've heard that they're looking at something along the transit line. So that may be what they'll be pushing more, a little bit more in the transit line, which, as Spencer mentioned, there is a big push to look at that. It's part of the sustainability that they're looking to encourage is to move some of that, the people movement through transit type of facilities. Also looking at bike and peds and things like this here. So there is some movements there. That kind of gives you kind of a view of where we are within relationship in the state of Missouri. There is some effort, maybe transit in Kansas City. Like I said, there is 11 road projects in St. Louis. Five of those were on state systems. If you want to, I can give you more details on all those because I really, being in St. Louis for 6 years, I understand some of those projects going on. So if you wanted to look at what kind of competition that would present, I could do that in more detail. I don't want to take the time to do it now. What we've heard from the USDOT, based on their first Tiger One and some of the criticism received on that, they are going to step up the evaluation based on the economic cost-benefit ratio. Like I said, we did help them develop that benefit-cost ratio effort, so we kind of know the effort that it would take to do that. We are working with several different agencies across the United States, and we did with Tiger One, and we think that a reasonable estimate for that economic analysis that you're going to have to do could run in the range of $75,000 to $135,000, depending upon the project. If you got a large urban project, multi-million dollar project, it's going to be up kind of that top end. If you're looking at some of the more smaller projects, it's going to be somewhere around that $75,000. It does do a lot more in-depth analysis. We look at these projects as traditional transportation projects. We look at benefits of delay, congestion, and safety a lot of times in our analysis. This analysis takes that step further. It starts looking at what kind of generation of traffic jobs that you can bring in, what type of industry you can bring in, things like this here. It also gets into low income, what kind of accessibility that gives them to transportation, to jobs, getting them, moving them from being subsidized to less subsidizing some of the lower income people. So they're looking at all this stuff. So it's a pretty intensive economic analysis. So it's very intensive. We've had a lot of data collection on that, a lot of analysis on that there. So it's a little bit more. And if you look in, and I do have copies of this here. Mine's a little larger than what Frank's is. I printed it out, so if you do need that. But they do talk back in Appendix 1 back here, and they do make a statement there that pretty clearly previously discussed, notice the lack of useful analysis expected for project benefits and costs may be basis for denial of award of Tiger II discretionary funds in the application form. So one of the things that they're looking at on this here, and that's why they're requiring that pre-application, is be able to go through so they don't have the $1,400 to make mad when they don't get that and it can only give them the $51. They're going to be honest with people up front and say, you don't measure up in that application one. So that's why the pre-application is there for you. So if you do make that, your chances of getting that are going to be fairly good, probably similar to the 160 to 50. Probably they'll probably have more than one so that they can see that final submittal. But it's going to take a pretty depth analysis of this here. And looking at some of these projects here, from the standpoint, I think, Commissioner, you hit it on the head. We really need to get MoDOT involved with this. Mm-hmm. MoDOT will play a big part on this. MoDOT could potentially, if they've got some reserves there and think that it's a pretty good chance here to do something like this and a match, they may be able to come after some of these projects, which are priorities to them. I think the other thing you got to ask is where this is on priority of the region transportation plan. That's going to be a question asked, in your proposal. Is it high on that or is it lower on that? It may take some efforts of looking at how do we get it moved up on the program so that it is competitive. So you really need to address that issue, too, when you're looking at these things. There's a lot of things you really need to look at here when you're looking at these projects here. All these projects are very good transportation projects. There's not one on here that is not needed. I was the district traffic engineer for MoDOT down here in the 90s. Fall Creek was a problem then. It's still a problem. It's 15 years ago. So we need to look at all these projects. They're all good projects. You've identified very good projects. They all need to get done, And as Spencer said, the things you're doing today will help you tomorrow because you're identifying these needs. You're getting them out in front of the public. The public is weighing in on them. And so you get the public support for these projects, but we also don't want to oversell these projects and not be able to do something with the public, because the public, once they hear about these projects, they expect them to get built. And so we've got to be honest with them when we start going out there and talking about our chances with this here. If you remember, $30 request for every probably dollar there was available in that first one, and that's going to be similar to this one here. In fact, I see more activities around the state of Missouri than there was from Tiger One. So it is going to be very competitive, and we need to look at this. I kind of agree with Spencer, whether you look at a specific project on this or trying to group some of them logically together and submitting it as one project, I think that's the approach you're going to get, because we know we're probably not going to get all of these projects on this sheet. It's evident we can't do this. So we need to focus funding on the projects that we see that are the most needed. And you, as the commission, probably with people, need to decide that. And then with the support of the consultant community, we need to be able to help you to make that work. And this is a hand-in-hand thing here. And we need to make sure that we're doing the best thing for the city, for the Taney County residents. So with that, I don't want to go back through each one of these specific projects. We're interested. We've been working with the City of Forsyth. The City of Forsyth asked us to look at 160, the widening. Part of that project, we looked at a roundabout down at 76 and 160 down by Shadow Rock Park. We also expanded because we're talking to MoDOT. We knew that they wanted to do 160 and F, and also that they wanted to do the 176 at both the East and West Junction. And so that was all part of that plan that we took to the city, and we did a kind of a public hearing with it. That's about a $7 million project to widen it, to do the intersection improvements at F-76, 176, both 176 junctions, and then Y, and also down at 160 and 76. We're interested in that project. Being from this region, all these projects here are an interest to me, because I see the need for them here. And I want to echo what Spencer said, is that you do have some meaningful projects here that need to get done, and we need to find a way to get them done.
Very good. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you,
sir. Any questions?
Question?
Thanks.
All right. Larry, you want to, anybody else want to pipe in? Okay. What else do we want to fizz about on this issue?
Well, I guess the thing is, I'd like to talk about just maybe kind of pseudo-assigning, you know, just narrowing down where which project belong into which engineering from just a discussion perspective. I think it makes sense that Project 2 and Project 3, which is the anything to do with 160, HDR sure seems to be the logical choice because they're already working with City of Forsyth on those.
Right.
Yeah, and by me saying that, I'm not saying we're going forward with seven projects here, but I'm saying that it makes sense that those two match up just because of the work and research they've done. Same thinking, Project 4, Project 5, and Project 7, we know Great River has been involved in those projects from Tiger One grant. They did 4 and 5, and then our Coon Creek BB improvement, they were involved with that too. So I would say Project 7. My other thoughts are Project 6 and 7, looking at Aegis to do those.
Say that again? What number?
Project 6 and Project, I'm sorry, not 7, 6 and 1.
Okay.
Which is the Fall Creek. Because really what we've got is some conceptual drawings. It really is nothing more than just some lines on a piece of paper. I know Branson, talking to David Miller, they know they need to get improved, but they also know it's not their responsibility, so they haven't spent any really resources at all in some drawings. They had some copies they gave me, or maybe you or David gave them to me, but we basically, I think the drawings came from 91.
It was in the 90s, I
think. Yeah, I think 91 is what I have the drawings from, so they're yellowed and crayon. So anyway, we really don't have anything on Fall Creek, so we could start anew with that, or with just some concept. But that's my thinking of which engineering firms, because we primarily as a county have used these three firms predominantly in the sewer projects and road projects, so it would make sense to, from my perspective, that's how we'd marry them up.
That looks good to me, right?
Because of the fact that we didn't have any opportunity to sit down and talk about these.
Right.
These were efforts that I've heard talk about. We've discussed partial things on each one of these. Not necessarily saying that we have to move forward with a full application process for every one of these. Maybe there's one or two that, after further investigation, the other ones would rank higher, and it would be best to move our efforts and or money to the ones that we think would be of greater benefit and or more likely to be in receiving of a grant. So we're really in the early stages, and I honestly tell you we have not had the opportunity to discuss the grant opportunity.
Can I ask one question? The pre-application, is it July 16th, I think is what I saw here. Mm-hmm. I haven't looked at the actual application. How much preliminary work is required for the pre-application? There's a lot of work. I mean, the application itself, I know, is a lot more work involved. And the reason I ask that's kind of a loaded question. How much? We have approximately 30 days, 35 days or so to get decided and do pre-applications if we're going to move forward with what projects. I'd like to kind of almost do, and I'll throw this out, we have 7 projects. I'd like to see if we couldn't convene our Transportation Advisory Board, use the formula model that we kind of we created, and see how they would rank out of that with that. You know.
Well, Tom said something that had me thinking the same thing. Is that a possibility that we could get it started pronto and get their input? And then the question was, would that be a value in the pre-application?
Can I go over?
Yeah, just come to the mic. And yeah. Tom, if you have something to say, you can jump up here too, please.
I just want to go over what the requirements are for the pre-application, and this is right from the Federal Register. Name of the applicant, applicant's DUNS number, type of application or type of applicant, state where the project is located, county where the project is located, city where the project is located, project type, project title, whether the project is requesting TIFA payments, which is financing, project description, total cost of the project, the amount of Tiger II discretionary grants being requested, a contact name, congressional district, and type of jurisdiction, whether it's urban or rural, and then whether or not the project is in an economically distressed area. So it's not the full-blown application. It's just some general information so that they can start sorting through that process.
What's the next deadline after that? What the application is due when?
Yeah,
is it August or
August the 23rd.
Okay.
And then I think there's they were hoping to make a decision in September.
One of the things why they're doing this pre-application, you're going to have a pretty darn good reason to make that first round, because they're going to want to distinguish those from the players and the ones that are just there putting an application in. So you're going to have a pretty good concept, because that only gives you a month after you turn in that pre-application, and they're going to notify you when if you can put in a full final application. So you're going to have a lot of that in place. I think over the next month is the part of the time that you're really going to have to work on this. You're going to have a good idea of what projects you want to move forward, what kind of commitment that you can make towards those, and you're going to have that in there to probably get through that first round. Because I don't think they're going to, you know, if you a lot of that information is information they need, you know. Another thing that I think is very important that we really need to make sure that we understand, this is election year, and there will be some political elements to this, and so we need to have support of our U.S. representatives, our U.S. senators on these projects. So we need to get them involved with this process at some point in time, too. And I think, but first of all, Taney County's got to decide what they want to move forward with on those Tiger II, so that they can then go and get that support, and so that those people know about these projects and can support these projects when they're asked about it, because it's one of the things, the requirement that they ask is because they will ask those questions. So I think we need to make sure that that's all taken care of before we put that preliminary report in, so that we stand a very good chance, because the prize is, when the final one comes through, we want to be the winner of that project. So we've got to have all those things in row here in the preliminary plans.
So the intent of the pre-app is that they will tell you whether you should proceed with the final app.
Yes.
Not that they won't just say you're eligible. They say your project ranks well enough that it should be considered submitted for further consideration.
Yeah. They're going to make sure that you meet all the requirements that they've asked you here in as far as the primary and the secondary type of things that they're looking at.
Tom, would you go back over, when you spoke the first time, you mentioned the cost of $75,000 to whatever you said, $130,000 or $50,000 or something. What was it again? Could you run that by again?
Basically, that's the range that we're talking to our clients that we're doing Tiger II submittals for, that's the range, because that's the effort. That's the range of the different type of projects that you could submit on Tiger II. If you have a $135,000 project, that may be an urban-type project, transit-type project that's asking for $20 million. a $75,000 project may be something that's asking for some improvements of $2 million or $3 million
project. That cost you're giving is the benefits cost analysis cost.
That's most of that cost. The other, you know, there's some cost in doing the other parts of that form too, but most of it is in that economic analysis.
But, and that's urban areas you're talking about? Because I know of rural counties that they weren't going to be able to come up with that money.
And I realize that, you know, but they're saying that's what they're saying because of the criticism that they received on the first one here. So I'm looking at some of these rural areas that, and we're working with some states that they're looking at corridors that they're trying to do, and the DOT's leading that effort, and they're treating it as a rural-type corridor, and they're maybe asking for $5 million to improve a corridor across their state. So there are people that will have that in the rural proposals, but you're absolutely right. Most of them will not have that type of funding to do that and may not make it past the first round.
So you're saying then that that type of work needs to be prepared for the first round?
It needs to be there so they can see that you've made a good faced effort to do that.
Otherwise, you're not going to go forward.
It's probably not going to make it forward. And that's the scary thing about this. But they received a lot of criticism during Tiger One. Some people made those efforts. Some people didn't. They didn't really hold them to that standard. And they're saying, we can't do this because it's going to lead us to that same criticism with Tiger Two if we don't. And that's why they kind of emphasize it in this here, saying you better be prepared for it. But I don't think you have to have it completed, but you have to show a good effort that you do have it there so they see you that you're working towards that.
Walk me a little bit farther. So those kind of numbers, is that all seven of these projects lumped together, kind of like Spencer mentioned?
And I think that's what you got to do. Then you can do that. Because then you can look at the county as a whole.
Right.
You know, I have a project that I'm project principal on I-64 corridor in St. Louis, looking at the impacts of that there. And part of our economic decision group is working with us. And they're working with Merrick, which is Missouri Economic Development's area where you can gain information. We've been working with them, and I can tell you from that effort that, you know, it is a significant effort to bring this data in, get this data all processed from various different sources, and try to get that information together. So it is the biggest cost of that 75. It's not all of it, but it is a big cost of that.
All right, so if we kind of go that direction, and we've talked about splitting this up like we have, and if we did, just as a conversation, the three different engineering firms working on it, is this possible that using the low number, the 75,000 number, is that going to work on all seven projects? Y'all going to split that up?
Well, I can't speak for the other firms. We'd have to sit down and talk to one another.
Okay.
We work with each other. We've done it in the past. We can do it now.
Okay.
You know, the end outcome for all three of the firms here is to help make you successful.
Gotcha.
So we can do that if that's the desire, but I think we need to look at those seven projects and says, what's important? Then let us get together and say, hey, how can we do this? We can really be a big component on the economic end of it. The roadway design and stuff like that can be, and we can talk about those things.
Okay.
Because at the end results, we're trying to get those projects, if they do become successful with this bid.
All right. Let me put my colleague over here on the spot.
That's wonderful. I like to be on the
spot.
Don't
you love it? All right. We're talking about spending significant dollars here to go after these grants. What's your thoughts so far? Were you thinking that before we set out?
Not significant. I'm not, at this point, convinced at that rate. There's going to be costs associated, sure. Once again,
I would answer the question now. I mean, it's something.
There probably is going to be a cost associated. How much, I don't know. I mean, when you're talking about a benefit cost analysis, you're going to do some regional economic analysis work. Mm-hmm. You're going to do some traffic count. You're going to analyze traffic flows from state roads and how it integrates with the county and the cities and all that. That's going to be able to be used across all the projects.
Mm-hmm.
And certain. I mean, there'll have to be some specific analysis work for each project, mm-hmm. but I'm hoping there's an overall portion that can be used in all the projects.
Yes.
I'm not too excited to spend $75,000 plus engineering fees for each seven projects. That quickly gets into a very expensive,
unbudgeted item here. What I'd like to still do, though, is go through this exercise and see if we can't, through the advisory board and discussions that we have, we identify maybe one or two that we say, you know, everything indicates this is a two good projects, and let's move forward on these two projects and see if we need to spend that much money or if there's a more frugal approach that we can approach. I think it's a little premature to rain on the parade, but it's cloudy out. Let's put it that way.
That's a good way of putting it.
It's raining over there. In the auditor's office, it's raining, he says. It's raining outside. Okay. So I would still like to, I mean, I knew there would be some cost. I just didn't know how much. What I'd like to kind of say is let's kind of go through this process and see if we can't try to put some prioritization to it and see what comes out of it. I mean, the advisory board, obviously, we're once again pushing the advisory board to make a decision, but we also put some formulas in our process to see if it can rank out a project for us, to see what the formula method that Frank and I and the commissioners all agreed upon. The challenge we're going to have is time frame. I mean, we can't make a decision on July 15th and say, here, make an application on the 16th. I know that's not realistic. And looking at schedules, it looks like we could narrow down some things on the week of the 21st, which is, you know, not next week but the week following. It gives us time to gather some information, run some numbers, the formulas, reconvene a transportation advisory board in that week, and see if we can't discuss the projects and have some information gathering and sharing at that point. And hopefully at the end of the week, we then have a narrowed down project or a short list of projects, and that would give the engineer, if we decide to go forward, gives an engineering firm or firms 2.5 weeks to do an application, which I think is still short, but still it's more doable than a week or 5 days, because you still have a two-day holiday in there with the 4th of July that you're going to lose. That's kind of my preliminary thought. I'm not too excited about the number range, but I'm also thinking, when I was at D.C. earlier this year, and talking to U.S. Department of Transportation about Tiger II, they've got a congressional investigation on the Tiger I process, so there's a whole lot of things going on right now. But part of the criticism they got was the whole reason that the grant was available was for rural counties who don't have a lot of money, don't have a lot of resources, can still be put in the process and get some grant money to help them improve their infrastructure. And the thought process, if they had to spend that much money on an economic benefit cost analysis, once again, it puts them out of the picture. And I can't imagine that being I know you have to have the data, but is it too much information for the rural? Because once again, we're going to play the rural card on this one, not the urban card.
Yes.
So, that's just my thoughts on that.
Very good. What else? Anybody else?
Would like to mention that our transportation meetings are public meetings, and if there's engineering firms that are interested in sitting in on those and possibly helping with input or guidance in how we move forward with this process, I would appreciate that participation also.
Just for FYI, since we've approved it, MoDOT said they would sit as an advisor with our meetings. Another engineering firm that works with MoDOT, I guess, in Kansas City, they met with me and said, we'd like to sit on your advisory board. I would guess that each engineering firm would like to participate as an advisor within the process, just if we had some, if the board had some questions. And once again, we have four of the existing members that were on the old advisory board would qualify and are interested in serving on the seven-member board. So it wouldn't be difficult to get to that seven-member board quickly and possibly have a meeting as quick as the 21st. I mean, there's some time on the 21st, which is a Monday, that we could actually have our first Taney County Advisory Board meeting. So it'd be tight, but, I mean, once again, if we're serious about this, we'll just have to have a fewer meetings that week. Otherwise, I don't know if we can make it.
I'd like to see us make a way before the 21st. That's 10, That's 10 days from now, right?
Well, just we have all next week. We basically have next week to get the members identified, appointed, which that's two steps we'll have to add before the 21st. Identify, appoint next week, and then they meet the first meeting to be in the 21st. I mean, we only have 5 days to do that. So I'd like to be quicker than that, but
okay.
We don't want to be too hasty in our selection of the board members, too.
Okay.
But anyway, we can if we're in agreement, we'll move forward to get that on the agenda next week for some board member appointments and conversations. And
even apart from what we've been working on here, we need to be doing that pronto anyway.
Right, so we need to accelerate that. Yeah.
Priority.
Yes.
Okay. All right. How about you want to take a quick recess before we get into the other?
Yes, sir. Or? Yes.
All right.
Yep.
Got other four, Frank?
We're done with this subject matter.
Thanks.
Got any more?
No. Thank you.
Thank you guys for being here.